Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, June 16th, 2014. Hope you had a great weekend and a wonderful Father's Day yesterday. The Buckmaster Show, we are live 12:04 to 1 each weekday on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we make it very easy for you. You do not have to actually be physically in front of a radio. You can be in front of a computer or wherever by live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And then we make it very easy for you to hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world on your schedule by our podcast program at buckmastershow.com. We'll begin, as we do each Monday, with the Monday Political Face-Off at 12:30. Dr. Steve Gall will be with us. Dr. Gall is a daily physical exercise advocate and organized research volunteer in the TUSD elementary schools. He says we need to get the kids up and moving again in school and get them out and do a recess and the whole nine yards. Then we'll talk about teacher absenteeism with Dr. Robert Hendricks, one-time Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. He is the Buckmaster Show Education Contributor, 790-2040, 790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show Live Line. If there's anything during our face-off that you would like to add or make a comment on, we'd love to hear from you. We also would love to hear from you on our Facebook page. Our Monday Political Face-Off features John Munger today, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and attorney Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democrat Party in Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John and Jeff, how are you two gentlemen today?
Very well, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Great day, Bill. Great day.
Jeff, we'll begin with you. You're in the news today. Last week, you had filed on behalf of the Democratic Party locally a challenge to the signatures for State Representative Ethan Orr. Today, you withdrew the challenge.
We did. The recorder's office was able to verify some more of the signatures, some that we found illegible or that the addresses were incorrect. They were able to find some of them that were valid, that we believed were invalid to begin with. But he barely made it by the skin of his teeth. I'll tell you, by our count, he made it by seven signatures total. He needed 361. He had 368 by our tally, and that's barely making it. I mean, at least 40 to 45% of his signatures submitted were invalid. So he's very lucky to be on the ballot. We've had a lot of other people knocked off. You'll remember the mayor's race a few years back. All three candidates, both a primary challenger to our candidate, as well as the independent Pat Darcy, and Sean McCluskey, the Republican candidate, all three got knocked off for being sloppy on their signatures.
You got to really watch those signatures, John Munger.
Yeah, you do. You should go out and collect two to three times what you're obligated to collect, because signatures, you don't know who you're getting signatures from and whether they're registered voters. And so the standard technique is to get at least twice as many and go for three times as many. It can be tough out there because people will sign a petition and they'll tell you they're a registered voter and they're not, things like that. So it's problematic.
And the legibility of someone's handwriting.
Oh, Jeffrey, it's very difficult. And one thing the recorder's office does have is they've got quite a crack crew that can read signatures that we can't even figure out sometimes. And the same thing for addresses there. And you'll also see people who will sign with a new married name. They're mm-hmm. registered under their maiden name. I mean, there's a whole host of things that can go wrong in these. I think the best advice to do is just get your precinct committee persons to get the walking lists for their neighborhoods, so you knock on the doors and you know the people that are signing them are those identified mm-hmm. people, and you've got the list that shows they're registered voters. That's how we tend to do it, and we tend to not have very many challenges to ours.
Well, it's easier to find Democrats in the city of Tucson than it is Republicans, too.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's talk about what should be done with the situation, deteriorating situation in Iraq. John Munger, we'll begin with you. What can we do in that situation?
Well, what we should have done, let's start from what should have happened. We never should have left Iraq without retaining some forces there. The model of this president adopted of just picking up and leaving doesn't work. We should have continued to negotiate and press forward on a status of forces agreement. The consensus amongst the military is that could have been done, but the Obama administration really didn't press for it. We would have had air power. We would have had training forces. We would have had special operations forces. And as happened in Germany and Japan and Korea, where you leave forces behind, you don't end up in battle because the local forces are able to consolidate and gather support from that. But when you just walk away from these forces, the local forces, you have a problem and they will fall apart. And that's what's happened. And I just pray that we don't walk away in Afghanistan and that America has learned a lesson. That's what happened in Vietnam, incidentally. We walked away from Vietnam in 1972. It infuriates me when people say we lost Vietnam. Mm-hmm. We won every battle in Vietnam. When we left in 1972, Vietnam was stabilized. The ARVN forces were strong. And then we went off and the politicians within 3 years cut off the money, cut off the advisors, and left South Vietnam right where we left Iraq. And people turned around and said to the brave military veterans there, you lost the war. They didn't lose the war. They won the war. The politicians lost the war, the same as the politicians are losing the war in Iraq.
So you're drawing parallels between Iraq and Vietnam.
It's identical.
Jeff Rogers?
Well, let's go for a little more historical context here. What happened in Afghanistan after we helped the Taliban defeat the Russians is we then failed to support the forces there as well. And look what happened. The Taliban emerged, and then they attacked us on 9/11. But this president's hands were completely tied. The status of forces agreement has to be in place. Even John McCain in 2011 said, we cannot leave troops there without a status of forces agreement. And what that does is it protects our soldiers. We can't have our military soldiers, our young men and women, be sitting in a country and be subject to that country's laws. We have to have some kind of immunity and control over what happens to our soldiers because bad things can happen. And we have those kinds of agreements in all other countries, particularly in Korea. And in this case, Nouri al-Maliki refused to sign a status of forces agreement. And so and while John may say, well, this president didn't try hard enough, they tried for years. And even John McCain said at the time, and is quoted as saying in the New York Times today, that back in 2011, he says, if we can't get a status of forces agreement, then we absolutely cannot leave troops here. Well, and so that went wrong. And right now, we have the same thing happening in Afghanistan. The current president is refusing to sign an agreement that will protect our soldiers. And so what we're hoping, and I think is probably going to happen, is that after the elections, the new president will be willing to sign the status of forces agreement.
Well, the new president in Afghanistan has said that he will sign a status of forces agreement.
But we can't have our troops there without these kinds of agreements.
And you're right about that, Jeff. You cannot keep your troops there without a status of forces agreement. That is correct. But the consensus in D.C. From the knowledgeable parties is that if we really kind of gave up early, we didn't. And there's a lot of things the United States can do. We exercise economic power. We have a lot of things that we can do to leverage ourselves into an agreement, and we should have done that. But now, I will tell you, there's very little the U.S. can do. This is really now a civil war, and there isn't much we can do. It's too little, too late. The president knew about this 4 months ago and has done nothing. He's diddled around, played golf, and he's done nothing about it.
You're saying it's just another black eye on the foreign policy of the United States.
It's a disaster. We've done nothing for 4 months about it.
Well, 4 months, he says, there's been nothing, Jeff.
Let's go back to when we went to Iraq. I mean, first off, we went in there on false information, and basically they lied to the American people, the Bush administration, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and they got us into a war where we had no business. Do you know that there were no al-Qaeda fighters in Iraq when Saddam Hussein controlled that country with an iron fist? In some respects, respects, Saddam Hussein was the best ally we ever had in that country. And as long as he was there, there weren't going to be any of these kinds of terrorist fighters that were going to infiltrate that country. It may not have been a pleasant place to live there, but it's not a pleasant place to live there now. And let's go back even farther. These Sunnis and Shia have been fighting each other since the middle of the 7th century. They are sworn enemies, and you've got two countries where it's been a particular problem, Iraq and Iran. They're the only two real countries that have a majority of Shia versus the Sunni population. And, you know, and you can say what you want about what a horrible dictator Saddam Hussein was, but he had that country under control.
Well,
and often was in, and often was fighting our, one of what was our mortal enemy, Iran, at the time
Yeah,
so we have to go back and look at, the mess we created by going into that country on false information, and then the mess that we created when we when Bush basically installed Maliki as the president.
First of all, you know, blaming Bush for everything, Jeff, won't work. We have won the war in Iraq, and we should have kept forces in Iraq. We won the war in Iraq. The place was stabilized, and Obama walked away. It really infuriated.
Obama didn't walk away. We had no status of forces.
We should have gotten it. That's true.
But John, you contend we should have gotten it.
We should have gotten it, and we've gotten it every place else. Now let's go back and get real about what happened in Iraq. I will remind you that Hillary Clinton and John Kerry voted for the invasion of Iraq. Everybody voted for it. It went through Congress. Congress supported it. The Democrats supported it, Jeff, because all the... Well, let me finish.
Because they got false information from the Bush administration.
Jeff,
we know that.
That's incorrect. They got information from the Germans, the French, the Israelis, the American intelligence. Everyone said that Hussein was developing nuclear and chemical weapons. Now, that information turned out to be false, but it is false to say that the people were lied to. That was the intelligence we had, and to go back and second guess that when all of the Democrats voted based upon the same intelligence is wrong.
We now know that intelligence
was
overstated at the time by the Bush administration.
Yeah, but that,
they led us into an unnecessary war, and 4,500 of our servicemen died.
In the first place,
the blood is on their hands for leading us into a war that should have never occurred. And not only that, but we should have focused on the real place where the problems were, which was Afghanistan, where the Taliban, they were the ones that actually attacked us on 9/11.
Well, I agree with that, but when you have intelligence, not just from our own CIA, but from every intelligence source in the world, the British, the French, the Germans, the Israelis, saying the same thing. It is disingenuous, Jeff, to blame George Bush for acting on that intelligence, especially when all the Democrats voted.
Barack Obama didn't vote for it, he voted against it.
Yeah, we're going to take a break right here, gentlemen. Hold those thoughts. We'll be right back on the Monday Political Face-Off.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and, of course, Fine Framing. They are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and they're on Moe's.com on the web and Facebook. Check them out. That's where we do all of our, have all of our framing needs. Moe took care of all of the custom mirrors that we needed for our kind of a bathroom upgrade. Can't recommend the man high enough. He gets our... if there was a 10, let's give him a 10. Mo and his fine gallery. John Munger and Jeff Rogers with us on the Monday Political Face-Off. We've been talking about the situation in Iraq, and John and Jeff have been talking a little history here. But Jeff, a lot of the Democrats were saying on the talk shows over the weekend that the Iraqi government should push for diplomacy before military action. Do you think we should we hold off on doing any kind of airstrikes or drone strikes, in your opinion?
I wouldn't want to venture a guess there, but I'll tell you the real problem they have is that this Nouri al-Maliki has formed a government, and he formed a government which is almost entirely a Shia government. He doesn't have many members of the Kurdish minority from the northern part of the country or the Sunnis involved in it. And without a balanced form of government with everybody involved in it, I just don't think there's much hope to bring an end to this. So I think what the president is suggesting and the administration is that we're not going to go in there with any firepower until we get some agreement from him, some concessions that he's going to try to work together and create a government that's more reflective of the entire population. And that's what's got to happen. And I think that the president's probably going to say, look, we'll help you out here, and we'll bring in some firepower. There's already an aircraft carrier on its way over there. But we've got to have some kind of commitment from them to open up this government to something that's not just totally a Shia-controlled government, because that's actually in the long-term benefit of the country. And otherwise, you know, I don't want to be seeing us waste more lives and blood and treasure on Iraq if we can't figure out some way to stabilize this government. And he's been on notice for years that he needed to do this, and has just resolutely refused, and instead just fortified his Shia majority in his government.
But the clock is running, and this group is moving toward Baghdad.
Well, I agree with what Jeff just said. Right now, given where we are today, having foregone a status of forces agreement and having foregone four months of notice where we could have done something, we could have been pressing for these things earlier, given where we are today, there isn't much we can do. We do need to have that government expand its participation amongst the Kurds and the Sunnis. I agree with Jeff. And the problem is we didn't need to be here. Now there's not much we can do. And frankly, I think there's a general consensus out there that we may be at the point now where we just have to let these folks duke it out. That the situation as it is today didn't need to be here, but given where we are, I don't think there's anything much we can do.
And there, some people are talking about an almost de facto partition of the country into the Kurdish area. And the Kurdish area is actually, you know, very economically viable. It's actually trading with their former enemies in Turkey, mm-hmm. and it's become, you know, a very, very, you know, probably the biggest success story in all of Iraq
true.
Is the Kurdish area.
That's
but,
true.
You know, you may just have to, you know, de facto cut this country up and into regions that are Shia and Sunni and see what happens. My biggest concern is that all of this plays into the hands of Iran, and because again, you've got a majority Shia population in Iran, and they'll become a more powerful arm over Iraq.
Well, I think that's right, and I think that we're really I think that the thing the Iraqis have going for them is Iran. Iran is not going to let Baghdad be overrun. That's just not going to happen. The Shiite religious sites of Karbala and Najaf, I think, is the mm-hmm. other one, are not going to be overrun. That's the Shiites just.
So if Baghdad looks like it could be imminently in trouble, the Iranians will step in.
That's right. We were talking, I think, earlier. The fact of the matter is these insurgents have taken over the easy parts of the country that are largely Sunni. That would be a much easier take. Now they're headed off into the Shiite areas. And so you've got these Sunni warriors, insurgents, attacking the Shiite area. That isn't going to happen, in my opinion. What we're going to have is just a repeat of Syria, and it's going to go on for a long time. What is happening in Syria is the model for what we're going to have. And the problem these insurgents have is they're between Bashar al-Assad in Syria on the north and the Iranians and Shiites on the south. And I don't know that in the long run they can survive that. We may have a genocide going on here, certainly a civil war, a sectarian civil war. And I don't think there's anything, given where we are today, that the United States could or should do about that.
This would be a partitioned country, possibly.
It could be a three-way.
Even think it'll be partitioned. Okay. I think you're going to just have a civil war.
And a very bloody one, probably, at that. But the other thing that some people are suggesting is that these people, these insurgents, are moving like an army. It's not like a terrorist operation. Mm-hmm. They're moving like an army. And actually, you know, there are some options with American air power, particularly with drones and even with fighters that could be used if we thought this was going to turn into a slaughter of innocents. So, I mean, there are some options that we have militarily, but I sure would not like to see any troops on the ground.
No, I don't think anybody wants to see that. Remember this, Bill, that because they're moving like an army, it's like what happened in Vietnam. Fighting the Viet Cong was much harder than fighting the North Vietnamese army when it came in. The reason is that the North Vietnamese army came in as an army, and they gathered in groups and were subject to air power. that's what Khe San and these battles was about, is to force them, the North Vietnamese army, to gather in groups that you could bomb. This group, whereas you couldn't do that with the Viet Cong. Here, this group is acting like an army. It gathers its forces, and when you do that, you're subject to American air power.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just a key element of warfare, and you can compare that to the Vietnam, to the Taliban, and then the sort of terrorist operations that they're taking in Afghanistan. Much harder to deal with than an organized front of an army.
That's right.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Jeff Rogers and John Munger, thanks. Hope you both have a great week.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Check out Moe for all of your needs, custom frame mirrors, and of course, art for your walls, and they'll do any kind of custom framed job that you can think of. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
RN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. An Iranian military commander is visiting Iraq, consulting with officials on how to roll back rebel advances in that country. Iraqi officials say the U.S. was notified in advance of the visit. Russia has stopped delivering natural gas to Ukraine, Moscow rejecting Ukraine's offer to pay some of the billions it owes for past deliveries. Also, the Russians are demanding upfront payment for future supplies. A pro-life group being given the go-ahead by the Supreme Court to challenge on free speech grounds an Ohio law against making false statements about political candidates during a campaign. On Wall Street, stocks having a tough time finding direction today, drifting between small gains and losses. The Dow down 13 points and NASDAQ is up 4. More details at srnnews.com.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan high-efficiency water softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com. Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We are here each weekday live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And once again, during this past Arizona legislative session, Dr. Steve Gall spearheaded a bill to make sure kids get enough exercise to lower the obesity rate in this country. And once again, state lawmakers decided that this bill was going nowhere. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is retired Tucson teacher Dr. Steve Gall. Dr. Gall is a daily physical exercise advocate and organized recess volunteer in the TUSD elementary schools. Dr. Gall, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Bill. It's an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate you inviting me. I'd like to discuss how I got here with daily physical activity in Arizona elementary schools as my primary goal. Give a little personal background. Mm-hmm. I have a BS and a master's degree in physical education from the University of Michigan. Then I went on and earned a doctorate in physical education from Indiana University. And I wrote my dissertation on self-concept and sports. Mm-hmm. In other words, how kids feel when they play sports. I did 25 years teaching PE, science, French, coaching, including 2 years in Sierra Leone, West Africa, in the Peace Corps.
Wow.
Then I retired.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I have a passion and a love for kids and sports. My dad was a pediatrician, and one thing he did do was instill to me a concern for the health of children. And the last 20 years, as you mentioned, we really have an obesity problem in this country. I don't know if you're aware, but 1 out of 6 kids in America are obese, and that leads to juvenile diabetes. Millions, billions, $100 billion was spent on medical bills last year.
Steve, let me interrupt you and ask you, growing up as a kid, we used to have recess every day. We'd have recess. What's the policy here locally for mandatory recess? Is there such a thing?
Well, that's what I'm going to get to. That's what I work so hard with TUSD, which is the second largest district in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I will get to that because we do have a requirement in TUSD, which is one of the few school districts in the state of Arizona that have a requirement for daily physical activity. If you remember, we had phys ed every day.
I do.
And we played outside every day.
I do. And
the only time we came in was for dinner when mom used to yell out dinner. We'd come in and then we'd go right back outside. I was brought up in New York and we played until you couldn't even see.
And even in the wintertime, we would go outside
for recess. And we threw snowballs at everybody. Yeah. Right.
So you're saying, Steve, that in TUSD, we do have a recess mandate.
Yes.
But the rest of the state, there is no such thing.
None at all. And that's what I've been working on the state level.
And why are you told every time you go up to testify before these groups that this can't happen? What are they telling you? It's a financial situation or what?
No, sometimes it's very hard to tell what they're, you know, I've been entering the bills with Republican legislatures. I've been working on this for 5 years. First, we started for 30 minutes a day, okay, in the school districts across Arizona. That included charter schools as well as public schools, and that didn't even get a hearing. Okay, then I decided, well, 30 minutes is too long, so let's go to no minutes. So in other words, the bill stated that daily physical activity, which was up to the teacher. Again, I entered it with a Republican who was a doctor, a senator, and a Democrat, and that didn't even get a hearing. Okay, and then last year, I thought we could do this. We entered it again with a Republican legislature, a task force of physical education where there'd be experts on it, like myself, like teachers, superintendents. It passed the House 40 to 15. It was interesting because the 15 people that voted against it were Republicans. And then it went to the Senate. The Senate Education Committee struck it down for the reason I do not know. Okay. I think some of the reasoning is they don't want the state to interfere with the curriculum, but that doesn't make sense because the state tells the school districts what to teach with the Common Core curriculum. So it's very frustrating and disappointing to me.
But at least you have been successful in the second largest school district in the state, TUSD, with the recess.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that.
And what kind of exercise do the kids get, at least at TUSD?
Okay, well, what we did is I worked on this with the governing board and staff, and we got a 90-minute requirement of structured recess, which is the teacher takes the children out for sports, games, relays, even walking. She or he can do it in the classroom, but it has to be at least 10 minutes, okay? So the kids are doing activities, and I even went to 15 elementary schools to test out our idea, and I got some real strong feedback that the kids were focusing and concentrating better. I don't know if you're aware of this, but all the research says that when the kids go out for physical activity breaks, they do better when they come back. They're more concentrated, they focus better, and they're even better behaved. All the research constantly says that. So it's been frustrating working with the majority party in Arizona. However, I'm not giving up. I've been going to school boards around the country. I have a lot of people that support me, and I will support any legislature that's willing to work to get a legislative law.
Dr. Steve Gall is with us, and Dr. Gall, we have a question for you. One of our callers would like to ask you a question. We have Jim with us. Jim, how are you today?
I am well, and happy belated Father's Day there, Bill.
Thank you very much. Hey, Jim Kelly with us on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, you're with Dr. Gall.
Dr. Gall, my concern is that perhaps one of the reasons you never got out of committee is are school districts themselves afraid of increased lawsuits, the more physical fitness programs are in schools? Has there been an increase in lawsuits for, you know, teachers that were not trained well and, you know, making sure kids are well hydrated or whatever the issues may be? Are those not some of the issues that were brought up?
Okay. Good question. Go ahead.
It's a good question, but no, I don't think that's a problem because the teachers are not doing physical education. They're doing structured recess. So they don't have to follow the standards that are set out by Arizona. They're simply taking the kids out for a break, like walking, jogging, and a simple game. We're not talking about a complicated sport here. We're talking about a physical activity break. Okay, now I realize it's hot, so all we're asking is 5 or 10 minutes at the least to go out.
So we're not talking about tackle football here.
No, we're not talking about sophisticated games. Yeah. We realize that there are a lot of elementary teachers that are not trained in phys ed. That's why we came up with this structured recess idea.
And so how about other local districts here? Is TUSD an anomaly locally? Are the other do you have any other districts locally that have recess programs?
We're trying. I've been going to board meetings at, I believe I went to the Vail School District, Catalina Foothills, Amphi, some of the Sunnyside. Sunnyside, I believe, has daily physical activity. So, again, you know, we're trying on a state level. The problem is if you don't have a law, a lot of districts are not going to do it. Some of them have phys ed teachers, which is fine. They teach 2 days a week. What do the children do the other 3 days? And this is what I'm concerned about. And we're not talking about lunch recess here, okay? Lunch recess is when the kids go out, maybe 100 of them are on the field with one monitor. This does not count for our recess requirement.
All right, Dr. Gall, we're going to have to wrap it up. You just got back from Copenhagen and from Scandinavia. You're also in Romania, where folks get out and about, don't they, as compared to here?
I was very privileged to go to Romania and Denmark. My wife is Romanian. Mm-hmm. We go every summer, and it's very interesting to see the kids at their schools in Romania have recess every 10 minutes on the hour.
What?
They go outside, now not necessarily play a game, but they go outside for some kind of activity every 10 minutes on the hour.
Good for them. Dr. Gall, we'll have you back on, see how you're doing, get an update, and it's great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition, back after this.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Beat the heat and get back down to earth in the cool mountain air of the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival. It's coming up. That's one of the big signature events in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, coming up the weekend of August 1st. You can find out about all the great things to do and places to stay at Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. It has the listing of the many really nice places in the area, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon, Continental Divide RV Park, and Bear Paw Ranch. Again, it's southwestnewmexico.org presenting this portion of the Buckmaster Show. And now we welcome on the Buckmaster Show live line Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education, where he is the former head of Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He is the contributor on education to the Buckmaster Show. He was one time Arizona top school superintendent when he was at superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks, Bob, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill.
I think you were able to listen to a little bit of that interview with Dr. Steve Gall, who has really been pushing for exercise as part of a recess program. He was successful in getting TUSD to mandate in the elementary schools some kind of exercise time. But there just isn't recess really throughout schools in Arizona, is there?
No, there really isn't. And there's the issue of that time, plus the issue of supervision and who's going to be out there. And I know there are some districts that leave it up to individual schools to have that flexibility to schedule that time, but it is part of the instructional day, and so it's one of those things that we have to try to squeeze on the agenda, and it's not to minimize the importance of that, but we seem to have focused so much on the core skills that physical education has been placed aside with a lot of the other co-curricular or elective classes.
What do you think about this new study that came out? 1 in 6 teachers in some of America's largest public school districts, Dr. Hendricks, are out of the classroom at least 18 days or more. That seems like quite a bit of time. It's about 10% of the time, in fact, for illness, personal reasons, and professional development. And according to this National Council on Teacher Quality survey, that this really hurts the students' progress.
Well, absenteeism, Bill, really has been a persistent and nagging problem. And many districts, at least the ones I'm aware of, generally give 1 day of sick leave allocation per month of work. So typically a district would provide a 10-day allocation. Now that would be outside the time that would be for professional development, and that doesn't include extended absences or maternity leave or things like that. So there's a real issue, certainly, and I don't think this is specific to urban school districts, but there's a real issue of a population of teachers based on that study that were absent, you know, 20%, 28% of those teachers were absent more than 10 days. And there really is no simplistic solution, but I do have some simple ideas that I think might be preventative, and one of them is some districts have been prone to automate the system by which someone who is absent can call in and leave a message. Mm-hmm. I think that really perpetuates the issue of absenteeism, and I've always said that I thought one of the best deterrents to absenteeism was to only accept personal communication mm-hmm. between the employee and the supervisor.
Yeah.
You know, not texting, not email, not phone messages. You actually have to call and talk to that person one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
Tell them why you're going to be absent. I think that is a major deterrent.
Let's
go. Simple idea, but it works.
We had a question from one of our callers, Dr. Hendricks, who would like to ask you a question. Ingrid is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon. You said that teachers are out approximately 10% of the time for various reasons, one of them being professional development. Does the term professional development include the teachers dealing with their union leaders to bargain regarding their salaries, their compensations generally? I'll hang up and take my answer off the...
Okay.
Well, that's an interesting question, and there are some districts that do build in time for union leadership, association leadership, to have time out of the classroom. I don't think it's a general course of action, but there are districts that I'm aware of that do that.
Okay, getting back to some of the other things, you said that one thing that could cut down on it would be the personal communication. I agree with you on that one. So,
well, the second thing, yeah. Bill, is you look for patterns of absenteeism. I mean, this is pretty obvious, but if you have an individual who tends to be out mostly on Fridays or mostly on Mondays or tends to be absent before a holiday or after a holiday, I think you want to take a really close look at that. And understand, we're not really encouraging people who are legitimately ill to come to work. We don't want that to happen. But if someone tends to be typically ill on Fridays or Mondays or so forth, we need to look at that pattern, and the supervisor needs to sit down with that employee and say, what's going on here? I'm noticing some themes here that are a little bit of concern to me.
Well, the study shows the students suffer when the teachers are out more than 10 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know that some smaller districts have hired or retained substitutes, sort of a regular cadre of substitutes that are trained, that know the procedures of the district, that know the culture of the district. And that way there's some assurance that the substitute that's going in the classroom knows the district, knows the routines, knows the rules and procedures. But in larger districts, it's really catch as catch can. And sometimes the substitute is a warm body with a pulse in the classroom, and that does not serve students well. It's not. It's certainly not cost effective, and for a qualified teacher not to be in the classroom with the content knowledge that they should have or the teaching skill level they should have is a travesty.
And we've all seen through the movies, the popular culture of what happens when the regular teacher is gone, the kids kind of go crazy.
Right, right. And I would say the last thing is that if there are these patterns of absences, the supervisor really needs to look beyond the absences and say, are there some other problems here? Are there problems of teacher commitment? Are there factors of morale? Are there some other behavioral issues that are going on? Why is this teacher not coming to school? And quite frankly, if the answer to that is something besides just absenteeism, then maybe it becomes something that needs to be evaluated further and maybe becomes a real serious employment issue.
Okay, Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much for being with us, talking a little bit about this appears to be a growing teacher absentee problem. Thank you very much, Dr.
You're
Hendricks.
You're most welcome, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Robert Hendricks, who is the Buckmaster Contributor on Education, the former superintendent of the Flowing Well School District. He was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests are treated to a nice chilled bottle of Culligan, and everybody appreciates that arrangement. And the guests are happy, we're happy, the employees here at KVOI are happy. Coming up this afternoon, For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Mike, by the way, will be with us this week. I think we've got him Wednesday to talk a little bit about his new show. That's going to be coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Of course, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe tomorrow morning. They will be with us from 6 to 8, and then 8 to 9, it's Christy Simone, his daily double show, Chris plus a different guest host every day. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. See you tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.